After Samuel anointed young David, the shepherd boy, to be the next king in Israel, a wonderful thing took place in David's life. Verse 13 here in 1 Samuel 16 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." What we are told here really reveals the reason why David's reign as king in Israel was so successful. This was at the very heart of why David was such a great man of God and wasn't able to lead the people of Israel to such tremendous victory over their enemies. It was all because he personally knew the infilling of God's Spirit in his life. David's greatness, all that he accomplished as a soldier and as the king, can be traced back to this time when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Of course, what was true of David and the success he enjoyed as a believer is also true of every child of God. The only way we can live a life of success and victory is by knowing the power of God's Spirit continually filling our hearts and lives. This is why Paul gave the command to God's people in Ephesians 5 verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine or in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit." This was crucial to successful Christian living. And it's also why Christ exhorted his people to seek after the promised Spirit, saying to them in Luke 11 verse 13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" David's Spirit-filled life is another powerful reminder to God's people of how we need to know the gracious presence of God, the Holy Ghost, in our lives. We are to live a life that is effective in the service of the Lord. This is something which is indispensable. It is vital and crucial for victorious and successful Christian living. However, in coming to the second half of 1 Samuel 16, what we are told here is that just as David came to know the power and presence of God's Spirit in his life in a most wonderful way, Saul now experiences the withdrawing of God's presence and Spirit from his life. And if that was not bad enough, we also learn here that an evil spirit troubled him. See again the words of verse 14. "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." Saul now is found in a most dreadful and unpleasant position. Notice in verse 14, it speaks of how Saul was troubled. He was troubled. This word troubled literally means to fear or be terrified. What then happened to Saul was, as God's Spirit departed from him and an evil spirit entered his life, he became a man filled with fear, worry, and anxiety. Mentally, Saul was now a man in great agony of soul and torment of heart. Although he was the king and his life was filled with many comforts and luxuries, yet his heart and mind were filled with trouble and distress. As we read about Saul here, he really was found in a most unpleasant and miserable state. And then coming to this passage today, it speaks of how Saul was troubled. The subject I want us to think upon is Saul's personal distress. Saul's personal distress. This condition which Saul suffered from is not something which was unique to Saul. Mental distress, anxiety, and worry are very common problems in our fallen and sinful world. Just think of the many times God exhorts his people in his word not to be fearful and worried, not to be anxious and filled with concern. This is something that the Lord says time and time again. Christ said to his disciples in John 14 verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled." There we have the word troubled again. He said to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled." The Savior also said to them in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And again, Christ was exhorting his disciples, don't be afraid, don't be troubled, don't be filled with anxiety. Think also of the words in Isaiah 41, verse 10, where God says to his people, and this is a command, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, all of these passages which speak of not being afraid, and God exhorts us not to be afraid, and many more like them, remind us and teach us that distress and trouble of heart and mind and anxiety is something we will meet with in life. Here is an enemy that we will have to face. The enemy of worry, fear, anxiety, and distress. And this is why God says these things in His Word. This is why He exhorts us not to be afraid and not to be troubled in heart, because we will be. And we will meet with these things, these difficulties. As Saul's own personal distress is then brought before us here, there are lessons that we can learn about the unhappy problem of having a troubled mind. The unhappy problem of having a troubled mind. Notice there will be a number of things in this passage. In the first place, I want us to consider the reason for Saul's distress. The reason for his distress. In the words of verse 14, we're given the reason for Saul's distress of heart and mind. And notice again what it says here in verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, as we think of what is said here, there are 2 points I want us to note about the reason for this terrible affliction which came upon Saul at this time. Two things I think we really need to note here. Notice in these words, this was a spiritual affliction. This was a spiritual affliction. There can be no doubt that this was a spiritual affliction which Saul suffered from, for we are told here that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And also, God permitted an evil spirit to trouble him. Now, this is speaking about spiritual activity. God's Spirit departing from him, and an evil spirit coming now to trouble him. Yes, Saul was suffering mentally. His mind and heart were troubled. He was fearful. He was anxious. But what the Holy Spirit reveals is this condition which afflicted Saul was at its very heart a spiritual condition. His illness, if we want to describe it in that way, was a spiritual illness. For it had its roots in the fact that the Spirit of God departed from him. And I think we need to notice that here. Notice it clearly. Here was a man filled with anxiety, filled with worry. The word trouble means to be fearful, to be terrified. This was Saul in his heart and mind. But the reason for this was spiritual. It was spiritual. Now, the point I want us to note here is this. When it comes to anxiety and worry in the heart and trouble and distress in the mind, we must always remember that which we are talking about and facing is a spiritual issue. That's what it is. It is a spiritual issue. The Christian does himself or herself a great disservice when they fail to recognize that the troubles of the mind are at their very heart spiritual matters. We make a grave mistake when we fail to recognize this. In our society today, there is much talk about mental health and mental well-being. And this is something that is continually talked about. And there are all sorts of so-called solutions offered when the mind is troubled and distressed. And men have got different remedies and different solutions to help people and to bring some sort of comfort to people. And many are genuine and seeking to assist others when it comes to their mental health and their mental well-being. Yet despite what medical experts might say, the truth of the matter is this. Distress and trouble of the mind is a spiritual affliction. And therefore it requires a spiritual remedy. I want you to understand that today. I want you to grasp that. I want that to sink deep within your heart today. Distress and trouble of the mind is a spiritual affliction. And therefore, it requires a spiritual remedy. You may say to me, how can you say this? How can you say this? You're not an expert. You're not a doctor that has studied in this particular area. You're not a trained psychiatrist. You don't have medical qualifications to speak on this matter. How can you say the troubles of the mind are spiritual afflictions? How can you say this with such definiteness? How can you put it forth so clearly in this way? The simple answer is this. This is not my opinion. These are not my thoughts. But this is what God says. This is the clear teaching of His Word. In fact, this is something which God's Word very clearly brings before us. Just turn with me for one moment to a verse of Scripture in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 5 and the verse 7. See what it says. I know that you will know this verse of Scripture well. But notice what it says here again. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll read verse 6 as well, just to help with the context. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. It says here, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Then notice the words in verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The word care here literally means anxiety. Indeed, we could literally read this verse, casting all your anxieties, all your worries, all your troubles upon Him, for He careth for you. Now here we have the Lord providing a spiritual cure. He's saying to His people, cast your cares upon me, that's a spiritual cure. And the Lord here is providing a spiritual cure. What for? For the problem of anxiety. The problem of a troubled mind. That's what He's doing here. Therefore, if we accept what God says, if we accept His Word, then we must acknowledge that the troubles of the mind are spiritual afflictions because He provides a spiritual cure. Now, do you see this? Do you understand this? To provide a spiritual cure to someone who had a physical illness would be cruelty. It would be a most cruel and unkind thing to do. But that's not what the Lord does. He provides a spiritual cure. He says, cast your cares upon me. Because the afflictions and troubles of the mind are at their very heart spiritual issues. Think also of the words of Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. And again, the word burden there has this thought of the troubles and cares of life, the things that would drag us down and weigh us down, and give us heaviness of heart and mind. What does the Lord say? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. We should also note that the first time a human being suffered from fear and suffered from distress of mind was because of a spiritual problem that had arisen. Genesis 3 verse 10 speaks of how Adam and Eve were afraid and they hid themselves after they ate the forbidden fruit. Now this was the first time a human being ever experienced fear, anxiety, trouble of heart and mind. And why did they experience this? We know it was a spiritual problem. It was because they sinned. When our minds are troubled and our hearts are filled with worry and distress, we then need to recognize what we're facing is in fact a spiritual issue or problem. That's what we're facing. That is the reality. Therefore, the real answer and the real help we need will be spiritual in its nature. It will be spiritual in its nature. And so we see here Saul's distress was a spiritual affliction. But then notice also in this verse, we can say Saul's affliction was a sovereign affliction. This was a sovereign affliction. Notice in this passage how we are repeatedly told that God brought this affliction into Saul's life and it was under His control. We're repeatedly told this. Verse 14 says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Speaks here of how an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Meaning, God Himself permitted this evil spirit to come upon Saul. This was God's work. This is what God was doing. God brought this to pass. The same truth is brought before us in verse 15. And Saul's servants said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. See again, the emphasis here is how God brought this to pass in Saul's life. And then see what it says in verse 23. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. Three times then we are told here that this evil spirit was something that the Lord permitted to come into Saul's life and afflict him. The Lord brought this to pass. The hand of the Lord was in this. Therefore we can say this was a sovereign affliction. It was a sovereign affliction. Saul's mind and heart were not troubled because this was his makeup, or because this was just one of those things that sometimes happens to certain individuals. This isn't why he was afflicted in this way. No, God's hand was at work here. And he was controlling everything that took place in Saul's life. And again, we need to note this here. This wasn't only a spiritual affliction. It was a sovereign affliction, something that God himself brought into Saul's life. Now here is something we should always keep in mind when it comes to the trouble of the heart and mind. God is still the all-sovereign one. He's bringing to pass his purposes in the lives of men and women. We need to remember this. Even when we are troubled and distressed in our hearts and minds, God is the all-sovereign one. And he himself brought to pass that which we are experiencing. The Lord does bring certain trials into the lives of his people for different reasons. He does. And no one can say what God is doing as he works in this way. This is a mistake. This is a mistake we must avoid when it comes to the distress and trouble that certain people find themselves in. We don't know why they are suffering as they do. We do not know why. And so we must not be like Job's friends and try to explain God's sovereign workings in the lives of others. And that was the mistake Job's friends made. Job suffered. He was suffering terribly. But they came along and they said, listen, this is the reason why it's happened to you, Job. Oh, this is the reason why you have all this trouble in your heart and mind. This is the reason for all this distress, because of your sin, Job. And they tried to explain only that which God knows. And they behaved most foolishly as they did this. We do not know. We cannot understand or comprehend how God works in the lives of others. Even why he brings people into places of darkness and trouble of heart and mind. We do know this from Scripture. That God does permit men and women to suffer worry and distress of mind for various reasons. Various reasons. With Saul here, it is clear from this passage that his distress of mind was connected to his sin and disobedience. Now we can say this definitely because Scripture reveals this to us. God shows us this. This is not our opinions, but this is what God shows. In the previous verses we have read of how Saul had rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord now rejected him. And as an outworking of this, God withdraws his spirit from him, and an evil spirit now troubles him. And so Saul's trouble of mind was connected to his sin. It was connected to his sin, and God reveals this. This is very often the case when it comes to trouble of mind and heart in this world. How many lives today in our society are filled with all sorts of trouble, minds just completely at war with themselves and unhappy, and the root cause is sin. Sin. But in other portions of Scripture, we read of good and godly men suffering the greatest mental trouble and distress. Good and godly men been greatly distressed. Think, for example, of Job. So distressed was Job in his mind that he proclaimed in Job 3 in the verse 3, "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said there is a man child conceived." In other words, Job was saying, "I wish I'd never been born." Now this is speaking about such distress of mind and heart. "I wish I'd never been born." And there he was, so afflicted in his own heart and mind. Such anguish was filling his heart. He wished he'd never seen the light of day. Yet Job's great distress and trouble of mind was not because of his sin. It wasn't because he was a wicked man, a sinful man. Instead, God put Job through all the trials he suffered, that Job's life might set forth the great power of God's saving grace. That's why. Job's life might demonstrate to this world God's power to preserve and keep a soul. Remember what happened to Job. The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth. Man that fears God and does that which is right." And Satan said, "Ha ha, not at all. Not at all. I tell you why Job serves you. I tell you why Job's such a faithful man. It's because of what he can get out of it. He's rich. He's wealthy. He's all that money could buy. He's a lovely farm. He's a great family. If you take all these things away, Job will curse you to your face. Job will curse you to your face." And this is what Satan accused the Lord of. Ah, he's only in it for what he can get out of it, in other words. And the Lord said, "Okay then. Take it all away. Take it all away." And Satan did. And we know the story. Job lost everything. Even his physical condition was greatly afflicted. And he sat in the ashes, scraping himself with a piece of broken pottery. Yet despite all that Job suffered, he did not curse God. He remained faithful to the Lord. And his life demonstrates the power of the gospel, the power of God's saving grace, the power of love in the soul of a sinner, love for Christ. Because even though Job's life fell apart, he even testified, "Though he smite me, yet will I trust him." And Satan was wrong. The truth is this: we as finite creatures do not and cannot understand the mysterious workings of God and how he sovereignly moves in the lives of men and women. We cannot comprehend this. We do not understand it. These are dark things. Yet we need to always remember, in the darkest hour, when our hearts and minds are troubled and filled with worry, the Lord is still in control. He's bringing to pass his perfect will in the lives of his people and in the lives of this world. And you see, there's great comfort in this. Even while we are filled with distress and worry and trouble of mind and heart, and our world seems to be falling apart, even as Job's was, the Lord is sovereign. And he doeth all things well. And he's in control and he's working out his perfect plan. So we have here the reason for Saul's distress. This was a spiritual affliction and a sovereign affliction. But then, notice also with me here in this passage, not only the reason for Saul's distress, but I want us to think about the remedy for Saul and his distress. The remedy. In verses 15 to 18, read about the remedy that was sought to bring some kind of peace to Saul's troubled mind. These verses tell us that Saul's servants tried to deal with the distress their master was suffering from, as they suggested that someone that was good at playing the harp should be sought out, and that this person should come and minister to the king. And this is what they suggested to Saul. Saul then, liking this idea, he gives the order, "Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me." Yes, I like this idea of someone playing harp. Go and find that man. One of his servants then speaks up and suggests that David would be the perfect man to come along and play for the king. And he speaks here of how David is cunning and plain, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. This servant of Saul obviously was a wise and godly man. He recognized what the king needed was spiritual help. Therefore, he suggests David, a spiritual man, a young man filled with the Holy Ghost, come along and minister to the king. This is what he suggests. There's no better man than David, because he was the man with the spiritual qualifications to do this. This then is what happens. And in verse 23, it tells us, "And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. David's ministry in Saul's life then brought a remedy to his troubled heart and mind. Brought him comfort. Brought him peace in his distress. Now I just want us to think of this for a moment and consider how David actually ministered to Saul in these times of great distress in his life. What did David actually do? Two things I believe we should note here. Firstly, David brought Saul spiritual food. That was the first thing. David at this time brought Saul spiritual food. This in reality is what David was doing as he played the harp in David's presence. He was bringing to him spiritual food, spiritual nourishment. You might say today, how do I know this? Or how can I draw this conclusion from this passage of Scripture? We're only told that he played the harp. Well, turn with me for a moment to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, in the verses 18 and 19. Notice what it says here. Ephesians chapter 5, in the verse 18. I've already quoted these words. It says here, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But then notice what it says in verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see here in these verses what spirit-filled people do. What they do. They minister one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is what spirit-filled people do. This is why Paul says to the believers in Ephesus, be filled with the Spirit, that they might engage in this activity. This activity of speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Therefore, the only honest conclusion we can come to here, as we think about David, is that as he played for Saul, he ministered to him spiritual food. David, as we've already noted, was a spirit-filled man. Verse 13 tells us the Spirit of God came upon him from that day forward. He was a spirit-filled man. Therefore, as he ministered to Saul here, he brought spiritual food. He brought to Saul the truth of God before him in Saul. This is what David did. He did not just play some delightful, light-hearted tune on the harp to lighten Saul's mood. That wasn't why he played some fancy tune, something to lift his mood, so to speak, something light-hearted. That wasn't what David did. He was a spirit-filled man. And so, he reminded Saul of the truth of God. And of course, we also see David doing this throughout the book of Psalms. This is what David did in the book of Psalms. This is how he used the harp to engage in spiritual activity. And we see it throughout the book of Psalms. And so I believe we can draw this conclusion very definitely from Scripture. As Saul played the harp for Saul, or David played the harp for Saul, he was bringing to him spiritual food, ministering to him God's word through song. The point that we then need to note here is this. The remedy for the troubled heart and mind. What is it? Well, it's to receive spiritual food. It is to feed upon the truth of God's word. That's how we are to seek the remedy for anxiety, for worry. To turn to the truth of God. And listen to God speak. We have not time to go into it. But this is exactly what the Lord did in Job's life. Exactly what the Lord did in Job's life. I've already read how Job wanted to die. He wished he'd never been born. And this was his state of heart and mind. But as you come to the end of the book of Job, in chapters 38 to 41, what we see there is God reveals to Job his greatness. And God reveals to Job his glory. And that's what we read of in those chapters. Job 38 to 41. God speaks to Job and reveals his greatness and reveals his glory to Job. And as a consequence of this, Job is delivered out of his distress of mind. He doesn't want to die anymore. He wants to live and honor God. And let me say this. This was before God blessed Job with great abundance again. Sometimes people think, well, you know, at the end of the book of Job, God blessed Job with all good things again, and therefore he was no longer sad. No, that's not what happened. God ministered his word to Job in chapters 38 to 41. And he was delivered from his mental distress and worry. And then in the last chapter we see that God blessed Job with all good things again. Job was helped, you see, as he received spiritual food. Dear Christian, this is the remedy for the troubled mind, the troubled heart. Feeding your soul on spiritual food. And there's many things we can consider here. You need to remember the greatness of God. No matter what difficulties or problems you're facing, the God of heaven is greater. And you need to hide yourself in his greatness, in his glorious majesty. Remembering his goodness as well. Even though you feel your world is falling apart, how important it is, remember God is good. And he's gracious and merciful and loving and kind. You also ought to remember not only his greatness and goodness, but his grace. What he's done in Christ. How he came into this world and himself went through the blackness and darkness of hell for you. To redeem your soul from destruction. This is the remedy. This is the remedy for the distress and trouble of the heart and mind. Spiritual food. Feeding your soul upon the truth of God and who he is. Psalm 46 puts it like this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. There David was hiding in the truth of who his God was. The truth of the Lord. So, David ministered to Saul by bringing to him spiritual food. But then notice something else here. David not only brought Saul spiritual food, but David brought Saul spiritual fellowship. Spiritual fellowship. See again what it says in verses 21 and 22. Verses 21 and 22. And David came to Saul and stood before him. And he loved him greatly. And he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me. For he hath found favor in my sight. These verses now speak of how David came to be part of Saul's life. He stood before Saul. He was Saul's armor bearer and Saul loved him. Now keep in mind how David is described in the closing words of verse 18. He was prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. And so these words make it clear. David was a deeply spiritual man. As he then was with Saul and stood with him, Saul was blessed with good and godly company. Saul enjoyed spiritual fellowship with young David. Think of David there. He stood beside the king. He was his armor bearer. He would have entered into conversation with him. Conversation about spiritual things. He was a holy influence in Saul's life. Saul could see God's grace in young David. And the power of God's Spirit in his life. And so, there was this fellowship. That these two men now had one with the other. Now when it comes to dealing with the problem of worry and distress. Spiritual fellowship is vitally important. It's vitally important. When we are not feeling well in our minds, we have a tendency to go away by ourselves and hide away off. And sit in the darkness, as it were, by ourselves. And that's what we naturally do. But yet God has given to us our brothers and sisters in Christ. He's given to us Davids, as it were, to fellowship with. To encourage us. And to minister to us. And the word of God emphasizes how important this is in the life of a Christian. In 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11, Paul wrote to God's people, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another. See the exhortation here to comfort and edify our brethren. Comfort yourselves together. In other words, bring comfort one to another. And by the way, this is thinking about our spiritual condition, our mind. edifying one another, building each other up. This is what we are to do. Proverbs 27 verse 9 tells us, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. The sweetness of a man's friend. This is what will bring encouragement and blessing to our lives. Sweet fellowship with our brother. And in 1 Samuel 22 verse 16 we read, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Now here was a time when David was in a most distressing situation. Saul was trying to kill him. He was trying to put him to death. David was very concerned. But what did Jonathan do? He went and he strengthened his hand in God. And what was he doing? Think of those words. He strengthened his hand in God. What did Jonathan do? He came to David and he said, listen, remember your God. Remember his protecting hand. Remember his provisions to you. Remember his promises to you. And he reminded David of this. And Jonathan encouraged his friend through good and godly fellowship. When we are physically sick and weak, very often the care of a nurse is required. Care of a nurse is required. When we become weak, physically, sick. Likewise, when we're spiritually weak and troubled in heart and mind, the care and support of godly fellowship is crucial and important. Let us never forget this. Spiritual fellowship, godly fellowship is so important. So important. This is why the Lord has brought his people together into a church family. To edify, to comfort, to encourage, to support one another. We have then here in this passage, not only the reason for Saul's distress, but the remedy in Saul's distress. He was helped as he received spiritual food and spiritual fellowship from David. One last thing, let me mention very quickly here. That is the relief for Saul in his distress. The relief for Saul. Notice in verse 23, the relief that Saul enjoyed as David ministered to him. Verse 23 says, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. See, here it speaks of how Saul was refreshed. The word refreshed literally means to breathe freely. To breathe freely. This does show us something of the distress of mind Saul was in. He was suffocating with his troubled mind. So anxious. He could hardly breathe. So distressed. And you can imagine the situation. However, as Saul was ministered to by David, he came to know relief and peace. Came to know such peace in his heart and mind. Now, I just want us to note very quickly here in closing that there's a wonderful spiritual picture painted for us here. A wonderful picture. Because this is what Christ does for the distressed sinner and the distressed saint. David in the Word of God is a picture of Christ. He is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who he symbolizes. But if we, like Saul did with David, seek after Christ and desire him in our lives, then we will know great relief and peace in our hearts and minds. Saul sought after David. He wanted David with him that he might know peace, he might know relief, he might know deliverance from his troubled and anxious heart. And that's what happened as David came with him. Well, if we are to know God's peace in our hearts, then we need to seek after the greater than David, Christ himself. He brings peace to the heart of the sinner, Christ. Perhaps you're in this house today and you're still in your sin. You're still in your sin. And the very thought of dying maybe troubles you. You're getting older. Years are going on. Maybe you're weak in body and death is a terrifying and troubling thought. How can you find peace even as you would perhaps get sick and weary? Only in one place, Christ. He's the Savior. He's the one who goes with his people through the valley of the shadow of death. He's the one who will present the sinner who has trusted in him spotless before the Father's face in the day of judgment. Peace is found in Christ for the sinner, but also peace for the saint. Peace for the saint. This is how we can live in the peace of God day by day. Living close to Christ. Saul didn't want David to go home. He wanted David with him day by day. This is how we need to live. We need to be off that mindset. I want Christ in my home. I want him in my workplace. I want him with me in the car. I want him with me all day, every day. Are we determined to seek after Christ in that manner? Then we will know peace in our troubled minds. We will know the comfort and blessing of his presence with us. Oh, may it be the case. May it be the case. That the peace of God which passeth all understanding will keep our hearts and will keep our minds through Christ Jesus. As the Lord Jesus told his disciples, I give peace unto you, not as the world giveth peace, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Peace is available for the Christian today. Let us enter into it. Let us look to Christ for it. And let us live in the wonderful peace and consolation and comfort of the gospel. I trust God will bless his word to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen and amen.